At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough, stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got a lot to get to coming up this hour. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, joins us at 8:30. We'll get into another big win last night for the Nashville Predators. They take down the Florida Panthers 4-1, and they're back at it tonight at Bridgestone Arena as well. And speaking of that, we've got some Predators tickets to give away later this hour as well. Right around 8:25 or so, Ryan Porth has got a trivia question coming down the pipe. He's ready to go. He's fired up about it. And if you can answer that trivia question correctly and be the first one to do so, you'll be in the building tonight to see the Predators take on the Florida Panthers.
I have a lot of trivia questions.
You do. Got another one coming today later on the show at 9:45 as well.
Yes, sir.
Make sure you're tuned in for that. So a lot to come on the program here today. Also, Preds Pick the Clip, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, coming up at 8:45. So all of that coming here in the 8 o'clock hour. Joe, right now talking all things NFL draft. We had John Robinson on from 7:30, kind of looking ahead to the draft here for the Titans. And two names that we spend a lot of time talking about this time of year are Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay, and the work they do at ESPN, putting together their mock drafts and going on programs and going on shows throughout the country, and the draft night coverage that they have as well. And it's been interesting to watch these mock drafts kind of unfold, and especially Mel Kiper Jr. He's kind of been all over the map with the Titans and what they're going to do at number 22. And he has some thoughts leading into this week in the draft about what the Titans should do, what they will do at number 22 overall in the first round. Here's what Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN had to say.
Well, I think you look at the cornerback position, a receiving entity there would make sense. I think you can find a few tight ends down the line. I don't know Todd's opinion. I like Kenny Yeboah out of Ole Miss in that fifth round range. They need help at that spot. But an offensive line, I mentioned, you think about that position down the line, but wide receiver corner, it would be interesting. Caleb Farley, who takes a guy who could have been a top 10 to 15 pick had it not been for the second back surgery? His history as far as his athleticism, playing multiple positions, quarterback, wide receiver, corner, playing so well in 2019, having that great length and athleticism, potentially a really good cover guy for today's NFL. I want to see who really says we're taking a guy, because now all of a sudden we've never seen Caleb Farley there. But because people are passing on him, he falls in their lap. Watch out for him there. And as far as wide receivers go, I want to see who takes Rashad Bateman, coming off a subpar 2020 because of the COVID situation, but a great 2019 season. Those are two players, Farley and Bateman, that are guys you just want to keep an eye on, because when they're picked, we'll probably be praising that choice.
So that was Mel Kiper Jr. from ESPN. Joe, what do you think of what he's thrown out there? Of you're looking at a cornerback or a wide receiver at number 22 if you're the Titans, and that Caleb Farley is a name that makes a lot of sense. Also, Rashad Bateman, wide receiver out of Minnesota as well. What do you think of those two names and what Mel Kiper Jr. threw out there?
Well, I mean, the Farley thing is, I mean, it's you're talking about a potentially great player if he gets through all that stuff. I'm personally freaked out by back stuff. I feel like back stuff is like knees seem to be almost, just cast aside. It's fine. ACL, yeah, you're fine. Be back in a few months. Used to be a career ender. The Achilles can still, to me, be something that really alters a player in various sports. Back stuff is, and this isn't the great year, as we've talked about, for for someone with back, you know, like the equivalent of microfracture surgery on your back, you know, not the best year for that. So, but I think that it's got to be a strong consideration if he's there. It's Bateman. We haven't talked much about Bateman.
Yeah.
It's like you just sort of forget about Bateman. It's very interesting. I kind of have had at one point tagged Bateman as the fourth guy, but it doesn't appear to be the case. Actually, Trevor Maddich on Jared's show had the most harsh evaluation of Bateman I've ever heard from anybody. Basically, like, yeah, he's not very fast, not very explosive. You know, he's a good route runner. It's like, yeah, well, to me, that's not that doesn't intrigue me. I think the Titans, if they're going high for a receiver, I think speed,
yeah,
pure speed, has got to be part of the equation because that's what they're missing.
Well, and Elijah Moore, I mean, that's a name that's getting a lot of attention right now for the Titans. TD's talked about it. And Todd McShay coming out with a report yesterday saying basically from the teams that he's talked to, there's not a team right now that doesn't have Elijah Moore at number four in terms of the wide receivers. I mean, obviously the big three of Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, Jaylen Waddle, but maybe Elijah Moore being the number four receiver. If that's true, number one, that's fascinating to me. But number two, like I think we've just kind of assumed that even if the Titans traded down in the first round, maybe Elijah Moore is still there. If that information from McShay is true and most teams are viewing him as the number four guy at wide receiver in this draft, he may not be there if you decide to trade down if you're the Titans. Heck, he may not be there at 22.
It's possible. It's possible. Is he that valued? You know, that, I mean, the way Robinson talked about, answered my question yesterday about receivers, you know, he made it sound like they'd be fine if they have to go later, yeah, to get a receiver. You know who I'd pick?
Oh, I know.
Same last name. But
some Rondale Moore action.
But, no, I think you're right. I mean, it's there's just so much. That's why you got to have multiple players available, or, you know, multiple players targeted, and be ready to take, you know, be ready to react quickly to things, obviously. And I still think that if you had a front seven defensive guy, quality guy who you like a lot, I think, and then you're picking at 22, I like that if you can pull it off.
Ryan Porth, how much does Caleb Farley's back situation scare you? I mean, two back surgeries. John Robinson's not been afraid before to go after some of these injured guys. Obviously, he's very good, very talented when he's been on the field. How much would Caleb Farley's back situation scare you if you're the Titans?
It scares me. It absolutely does, especially in a draft where you need to hit. I don't think this is necessarily a draft where you can take on maybe a little bit of an injury project, kind of like what you did with Jeffrey Simmons a couple years ago, where Simmons didn't play until the middle of the season.
Yep.
I don't know if you can really afford to do that. And not that you have to center your draft around the first year or two, but if that is a nagging injury for Farley throughout his career, I don't think he's going to be worth the 22nd overall pick.
I'd agree. I mean, it's very interesting at cornerback. I mean, you've got Farley that could be there. Like, if Newsom's there, like, we've heard, I mean, Jim Nagy joined us a few weeks ago. And, I mean, he was raving about J.C. Horn, but he was also raving about Greg Newsom as well. I mean, talking about, I mean, you've got Surtain at the top of the draft. J.C. Horn, I think, has moved up pretty dramatically over the course of the last few weeks. I mean, there were mock drafts at the start of this where he was definitely available for the Titans at 22. I mean, they had him down to 26 or 27. And now he's moved up to where, at this point, I'd be surprised if J.C. Horn makes it out of the top 15.
He's moved up in mock draft land.
He has moved up in mock draft
land. Let's remember that.
As he moved up in general manager land.
But I'd be surprised because, yep, it does seem like Horn and Surtain are your top two because of Farley's situation. Mm-hmm. And there are some teams up there, like Cowboys, for example, that badly need to take a corner.
But I just wonder, like, is Greg Newsom – I mean, Jim Nagy raves about that guy. Is Greg Newsom, if he's there, is he the type of player where even though you feel like you can still grab a corner later in the draft, you just got to take him because there's a pretty big deal of separation or degree of separation between Newsom and the next best guy?
Well, in my last mock draft, that's what I did.
Yeah.
Because I do, I think, and I have him take another corner too, because I think that's very possible here. But, yeah, I feel like Newsom being there would be a gift. One that, but I still, like, Ojulari, you know, the knee thing is, you know, that's something to keep in mind. Or even a Barmore, I still might be tempted to go that route. Just because I just feel like you can't have too many difference makers, disruptors, too much depth in the defensive front seven. This team doesn't have nearly enough of it still.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you've got to have some depth there. You've got to have a rotation. Like, what could it do, not only on the defensive front, but if you go edge rusher in the first round and, like, Azeez Ojulari comes in and he's able to contribute right away, what does that do for Harold Landry? I mean, the guy's playing every snap. And I think he's a good player. I don't think Harold Landry's ever going to be, like, this huge difference maker in terms of generating a pass rush and putting lots of pressure on the quarterback and having these big sack numbers. But he's never really had a guy opposite of him that's just a total game wrecker either. You hope you have that in Bud Dupree. But, like, what could just freeing Harold Landry up and getting him some actual rest at some point throughout the course of a game, what could that do for him? Like, I'm very intrigued to see that. I think that needs to be a part of the plans if you're the Titans. Maybe that's the priority in the first round, is adding to that edge rush and giving yourself a little bit of depth and a little bit of opportunity to do that.
Yeah, now, of course, you know, you can get a Joe Tryon maybe.
Yep.
With 53 maybe. Joseph Asai maybe somewhere a little bit later. So, and I feel like that's a pretty good position in terms of depth. So, I mean, some of those Pittsburgh guys, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting. You really can rotate this around in those positions of need, and you can find a way that it would work out for you going any of them and going later for the others. It's just that if you feel like you got a great player or somebody you really, really like, then you have to go there first. So, and then, of course, there's just going to be some unpredictable things that happen that disrupt everything.
Preds fans, join 102.5 The Game tomorrow night from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live, featuring Preds general manager David Poyle and former Preds player Scott Nickel. You can also watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. When we come back, we'll continue to take your thoughts on the draft at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Taking your thoughts on the Titans leading up to the draft, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also got some Preds tickets to give away coming up later in this segment, so make sure you're tuned in for that. Joe Rexroad?
Can I read the text line?
Sure.
Now that I got the text line?
You go right ahead.
So first of all, my best friend Heidi from Dixon says on the John Robinson interview, he seems honest but unsure, not the vibe I wanted.
What vibe did you want, Heidi?
So using vibe, getting vibe in there.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I guess I didn't take – I mean, unsure. He's not going to tell us much. I think he probably knows what's going on. Yeah. I mean, look, I think John Robinson's pre-draft press stuff is more interesting than some GMs.
Agreed.
Less interesting than, say, Kyle Shanahan, who's asked about Jimmy James, like, I don't know, he may be dead Sunday.
We may all be dead.
We might all be dead soon.
That was interesting.
Yeah, you know, that was interesting. But I don't know. I mean, I think John Robinson comes across the same way every time, doesn't he?
I agree. Yeah.
But anyway, Heidi, I still appreciate your text.
Not too high, not too low.
And
same
Scott,
approach.
Not too high, not too low. Yeah. Down the middle, you know, kind of having fun with it. Scott Nolensville, my town, says Titans should go edge rusher with the first pick, a la 49ers in 19 when they signed D Ford and drafted Nick Bosa. Yeah. Yeah, I think you draft Nick Bosa. And Scott does say they won't be getting a Bosa, but you can't have enough good pass rushers. I don't disagree. So we're talking about Rashad Bateman during the break. And, I mean, I think the thing with Bateman is, you know, and Brugler's kind of backs up what Maddie says. You know, not a sudden athlete. His stopwatch speed is better than his play speed. That's one of Brugler's evaluations of Bateman. I think Bateman's good. I think Bateman's going to be – I think he's a very good route runner, and that does matter. And I think he's going to come in the NFL and probably be a pretty good rookie player. I think that you could get someone not all that different from Bateman down the line if you want that – like, I would be more intrigued by a Terrace Marshall from LSU than a Bateman. I think you can get him later. Again, if we're going in mock draft land, like an Amari Rodgers – a Nico Collins, a Tylan Wallace, like some of these guys, I don't think. What's that?
Josh Palmer.
Well, honestly,
no. I'm not kidding.
I mean, Josh Palmer.
That's pretty good.
Hey, anybody coming out of Tennessee's offense right now, skill-wise, don't judge them by their production.
No.
You know? I mean, it's not their fault. No, Palmer's, I mean, you get Palmer like the fourth round. Like, I don't think that's a big, I don't think there's a big gap between Bateman and guys like that. I just don't. I think if you're going higher for receiver, you're getting a blazer. That's what I would – and they've tried, you know. Taywan Taylor didn't work out. But, you know, their speed guy has been Khalif Raymond. And if you could get someone who can kind of give you what Humphreys does, has done, but also could kind of give you that vertical threat, which maybe Elijah Moore is that guy, maybe Rondell Moore is that guy, I would be more – interested in somebody like that than going high for a Bateman.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I mean, you heard John Robinson talk about it yesterday. I think that's been a popular theme leading up to this draft. It's deep at wide receiver. I mean, even a guy like Amari Rodgers out of Clemson, like I've seen him being mocked in like the third or fourth round. Like, I think Amari Rodgers is a pretty good player.
That dude can play.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I know, like, Gentry Estes, I see he's got a column here, like, why they should draft Bateman. That's fine. Everybody has players that they latch on to. I think Bateman is polished. He's a very good player. But, yeah, Amari Rodgers, he's a good player.
Yeah.
And if these rankings are, you know, are about where it goes, and usually they're pretty much on point, then – if you could get an Amari Rodgers in the third round or something like that, I would rather do that and go high for it. And again, going back to Scott in Owensville, I think front seven guys, you know, who can play and come right in, there's still work to be done there. And that the question to me then becomes, okay, but are there some corners that really could start for you right now, and then you go deeper and you're not there. You're more of a backup / kicking game guy.
Well, and also, like, if you're getting an edge rusher, like if Azeez Ojulari is there for you at 22, is Azeez Ojulari a 10-sack guy in the NFL? Is he a 6-sack guy in the NFL? Like, what is he? Like, I think what you hear about the edge rushers in this draft is, I mean, there's not really an elite guy. There's not really that guy that's coming in immediately, at least that we think, going to just blow things up. There's no Myles Garrett in this draft.
There's no agreed upon. Yeah, there's no Bosa. Right. There's no Nick Bosa. There's no Joey Bosa. There's no Myles Garrett. Right.
So we talk
those
about
guys. Those guys go real high.
Right. So we talk about there not being a huge drop off at wide receiver at corner. Like, is there a gigantic drop off between an Azeez Ojulari or a Joe Tryon or a Joseph Asai? Like, how big is that drop off? I don't know. That's what you gotta factor as well if you're the Titans.
Right. It's tough. And you just, I mean, think about it. Just go through past drafts, and it's a different position, but like, for example, like a Darius Leonard.
Yep.
Now I believe that same year the Titans took Rashawn Evans, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Darius Leonard, I mean, I didn't hear much about him going the draft at all. He comes in as a rookie, and just sometimes it's fit, scheme, and all that stuff too, and he just fit perfectly, but it's like, how did that guy not go in the first round when you watch him as a rookie? It happens every year. And, of course, like, think about Edge last year. You know, the Titans obviously should have done anything but Isaiah Wilson in retrospect.
Yes.
But, like, look at the Edge guys and what they did. So we did a that hasn't come out yet, has it? Has our read do-over mock draft come out?
I've not seen it.
I can't keep up with anything. So we did, and it's fun. It was fun to do. Do-over. Okay, do-over last year's draft. So that'll come out, I assume, then sometime this week here soon. But I'm looking – so, of course, I'm thinking, like, Edge. You got to get – but, like, no one really did anything as Edge players from as rookies last year. Like, really.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing. So I had to dig deep on that one. So that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with this year's draft, but there's a lot of guys that you're like, could be good. Look, I like Deo Odiyingbo. I do. You know, Rashad Weaver from Pittsburgh. The other Miami guy, we're talking about Jalen Phillips because he's more talented, but Gregory Rousseau is an intriguing player too. So a couple of those guys are going to exceed where they go, and you know, it's really hard. You got to have scheme fit, but of course, if you have scheme versatility,
yeah, that's the best.
And that's what Odiyingbo, that's what people believe he has, even though he was a 3-4 end for Derek Mason. But could he be? I think he could still be an absolute asset. Maybe not do everything at outside linebacker, but he could help this team in the sub package where obviously you're in a lot in the league these days.
Joe, the Nashville Predators, a big win last night, 4-1 against the Florida Panthers. They'll be back at it tonight against the Panthers. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And we've got your chance now to go see the game in person at Bridgestone Arena. Ryan Porth has come up with a trivia question today. And if you get this right, if you are the first person to correctly guess the answer on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You win a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Florida Panthers tonight. Ryan Porth, today's trivia question is what?
So Eric Halla scored last night. Halla at your boy.
Yep.
That is the second straight game that Halla has scored for the Nashville Predators. He was signed this offseason. So the trivia question is, what team initially drafted Eric Halla?
What team initially drafted Eric Halla? If you know the answer to that question, text into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and you can win some tickets to see the Predators take on the Florida Panthers tonight at Bridgestone Arena. And speaking of that game, when we come back, we will be joined by former Predators goaltender and Preds TV analyst Chris Mason to look ahead at the game, look back at a big win last night for the Predators as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
LaMico in the left wing corner for Nudavara. Toward the net it goes. Swinging with it there is Achari. And then shot goes over the crossbar from the slot. Right in front was Noel Achari.
I think Juice made a save on that one. Somehow he got a blocker on it.
2 seconds left. And that's going to do it. The Nashville Predators win this one with 2 third-period goals by a score of 4-1.
I just think that the consistency level that he's played with and to be ready mentally every night to play the way that he needs to play has been a real good growth step for him. It's been a huge step for our team.
Oh, the Predators get it done again last night. 4-1 winners against the Florida Panthers. UC Soros phenomenal in goal. He stops 39 shots. Predators win. The Stars win. They remain 2 points ahead of the Dallas Stars in the standings. Both teams back at it again tonight. The Predators taking on the Florida Panthers at home. The Dallas Stars hosting the Carolina Hurricanes tonight as well. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Predators TV analyst Chris Mason. So looking forward to that conversation coming up. By the way, the answer to the trivia question that Ryan Poore threw out there about Eric Halla and where he was drafted, the Minnesota Wild were the team to draft Eric Halla. The Minnesota Wild.
A lot of different answers.
Had a lot of different answers. We do have a winner. We'll get to that when Porth gets the information.
His name is Johnny.
Johnny, congratulations, Johnny. You are the winner going to the Predators and the Panthers game tonight at Bridgestone Arena. The first one to correctly guess the Minnesota Wild as the team that drafted Eric Halla. And Joe, good night last night for Eric Halla in the game. 1 goal, 1 assist. A great pass from behind the net on Nick Cousins' goal to give the Predators a 2-1 lead. And then Matt Duchene makes a great play coming in off the wing. First off, Halla holding on to the puck, getting the puck over to Duchene. And Duchene just kind of knifing through the defense there on his backhand, makes a perfect pass back to the slot for Halla. He makes it 3-1, and the Predators were off and running at that point. The line looked pretty good last night with Nick Cousins and Eric Halla and Matt Duchene.
It did. You going to mess with that line? Mm. Who's going to mess with that line?
What do we do now? Who are you taking out?
I don't know.
Tolvanen, taking him out?
Yeah.
Get him out.
Yeah, that's right.
Get to get out.
Thanks, Ellie.
Appreciate your service. I don't know. It's going to be tough. I still
someone will
probably
make
go Nick Cousins, but man.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm based on like Vingan's Twitter conversation on this. I wonder if Vingan thinks that they should put Cousins down with the herd line.
Maybe
he doesn't fit with the herd line. There's no I have no animal that I can tie to his name.
No.
Unless there's
you'd
like,
have to rename. I mean, it would truly be the identity line at that
his
point.
His middle name is Buffalo or something.
It could be. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But
have to come up with something.
You can't mess with the fourth line, man. Can't mess with them.
The born identity.
Well, if you're moving Cousins down, who are you taking off the fourth line? Well, obviously not Sissons.
I guess Jeannot.
I guess. I don't know, man. That kid's pretty impressive.
I wouldn't mess with that dude. Trennan's been playing his tail off.
I know.
Well, they both have been. They all. I mean.
The entire roster has been right now.
Yeah, but that line, you don't even think about it.
By the way, speaking of tails off, I thought Ben Harper
being
driven into the boards.
Tailbone first.
Yes.
That looked very painful.
I don't know how he came back in that game.
If the other team's immediately apologizing, you know it was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was shocked. He was out like 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
He was right back on the ice.
Well, tough dude.
He was down on the ice. I knew it wasn't like, you know, an overly serious injury because I saw where he made contact, and I was like, yep, that one hurts, buddy. Tailbone right to the open door there on the bench. That's not – that one doesn't feel good.
No. You know who's been pretty good is good Branson.
I didn't think he was all that good last night.
No?
No.
I thought he did some good things last night.
He's taking too many penalties, but he has been better than I expected.
He's been better than I thought.
He gets acquired and it's like, you know, Hal Gill, a great pickup.
Yeah.
Stillman and Vingan, worst pickup ever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to balance those two things, I'd say he's
been right in the middle.
I'd say he's on the positive side.
I'd agree. He's been pretty good for the most part.
He's been fine.
Has moments last night, not great. But I think for the most part, he's been pretty good.
Third pairing, man.
Look, I hear you. And we have seen some doozies of some third pairings here in Nashville. Have we ever?
He's better than Tony Boteto or Matt Irwin or anyone like that.
Or who am I
Yannick
forgetting?
Weber?
No, from last year. Oh, come on.
Dan Hamhuis?
Similar player. No.
Dan Hamhuis?
No.
God dang it.
Dan Hamhuis. No. Come on.
Steve Santini?
No, with a J. Come on.
I have no clue who you're talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
With a J?
I'm going to have a total meltdown.
Jared Tenorti?
Thank you. Jared Tenorti.
Who's here this year,
better than Jared Tenorti.
Yeah. That's not very hard. But, yeah.
Okay, but he is.
He is. He's been better than Jared Tenorti. There you go.
Congratulations. Raise a banner. We'll raise a banner for you.
It is kind of amazing.
Better than Tenorti banner.
It's kind of amazing how long that everybody just kind of settled for Irwin and Weber being the third pairing. Yeah, it's not great.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Once was great.
Hey, I swear, that 17 run, Irwin and Weber were pretty darn good.
Mm.
No?
Until Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Yossi and Ellis weren't great against Pittsburgh either.
That's true. They got a way
in the defensive zone. They were on the ice for a lot of those goals.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations to Matt Irwin and Yannick Weber, though.
Great guys.
I thought that was a real nice combo for a lot of that year.
Okay,
I did.
All right.
I'll go back and look at the analytics, but I thought those guys had a moment in time where, you know, they kind of
brief moment.
Yes. Yeah. But you know, that brief moment was a pretty good moment.
It was. You know, this has been more than a brief moment for Juuse Saros and his dominance in the NHL. He's playing at an elite level right now. 39 saves last night. Portland, what was his save percentage? 947 over the last 18 games. I mean, it's pretty good.
947 save percentage and a 1.70 goals against average ever since he returned from injury. And his record in that time is 13-4-1.
You're going to win a lot of games with a 947 save percentage. You going back with him tonight? What's going to happen here with the Predators?
I'm starting Pecorine.
Okay. This is, just looking purely at the schedule, to me, this is the last logical opportunity that I think Pecorine has to get in a game. Now, look, things can happen. Injuries can happen. Maybe you got a playoff spot wrapped up by that last Carolina game and that he could play that. I don't know.
But just based on the way things are going right now and the standings, this to me is the last obvious spot that he could have a chance to play. I still don't think he's going to. If I had to put money on it, I would say Saros is probably in net tonight for the Predators. But I totally understand your viewpoint of, hey, get that guy some rest. Let Pekka-Rinne come in and play tonight against the Panthers. And then make sure Saros is completely fresh, not only for the game Saturday, but heading down the stretch here in what's going to be some really high-pressure games coming up as well.
Yeah, it's going to be 5 games in 10 days starting Saturday. And it would be 4 days of rest going into it, which, look, it can be 3 days of rest after today. That sounds good, too. He's going to have good rest before the 5 games in 10 days. So it's less that to me than it is he played about 2.5 games worth of goal last night and was incredible. So you're balancing the whole, how do you sit a guy who's that red hot versus, man, how much must that have taken out of him? And also to me, one of the things you have with this team is you've got goaltending depth. You've got the best player in franchise history sitting there on the bench. He's been sitting there. You can't tell me that Pekka-Rinne can't come in a situation like this and give you a good performance and help you win a game.
I'm not saying he can't. I think he absolutely can. I just – the more I watch Saros play and the role that he's on right now, like I think if John Hines takes the approach of, all right, I'm going to talk to Saros, see what he's feeling like, I know what Saros is going to say. Yep, I'm ready to go. Put me in. If that's what it is, which I suspect that may be what it is, I think he's going to play tonight.
By the way, Saros was available last night. I saw your fine question to
Thank
him.
You.
You think Saros, when we're not around, he goes like, you're going to play me tonight, Hines. I am playing tonight.
Yeah, just demanding.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so. I'm going to doubt it.
He might be the most polite.
Human ever.
Gentle human.
In the history of the athletics.
Like, Pekka-Rinne is like a trash talker.
I know. Yeah. It is amazing. Like, you're talking about, two different personalities there, but obviously, Pekka's one of the nicest guys ever. And Saros is too, but Saros doesn't say anything. He just, that's stopping the puck. It's all he doesn't say anything. It's pretty incredible. And apparently nothing gets to him.
But you tried.
I tried. I did my best. Let's go to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gator Tim texting in. Matt Irwin was lights out in that 16-17 season.
Lights out. Yeah. Thank you, Gator Tim. What are we ripping on Matt? Hey,
Matt Irwin had 3 games where he had a 3-game goal streak. That's pretty much it.
It went downhill, okay? It went downhill. But during that year...
I'm not
year,
saying that he was just atrocious out there the whole year. He wasn't good.
That third pairing, I have to dig it up. I know I wrote at least one column about how good that third pairing was. Because,
Please find it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, another gem. But seriously, I feel like those guys were good that year.
Okay.
I'm going to...
Who do you feel better about? Matt Irwin and Yannick Weber from that year or right now with Ben Harper and Eric Gudbranson?
Irwin and Weber from that year.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do not feel that way at all. When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators taking on the Florida Panthers again tonight. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 for your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for tonight's game. If you get it right, you'll win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll do that next. Right here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Curve on front, and the score!
Who's going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game? Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators hosting the Florida Panthers tonight at Bridgestone Arena. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the standings are as such. After last night's action, the listeners remain at 7 correct answers. Joe Rex Road at 7 as well. Ryan Porth remains at 3. And Robbie Stanley remains at 1. Callie Yarncroke had such a glorious chance last night. Missed the net by 6 feet. I was like, well, that's my fault. Sorry.
Yeah, if I picked him, you know where that's going. It's in the back of the net, baby.
It's kind of amazing, though. I feel like it's happened a lot this year where the Preds have scored
a lot,
several goals, and no one got one right. What does that mean? Does that mean that they are just an unpredictable, balanced team, or that we're idiots?
Maybe a combination of the two.
Probably the latter.
I mean, I think we've certainly proven at this point that I'm an idiot. That's for sure. I mean, one is hard to accomplish.
I think, honestly, it's not that you're an idiot, that there's like some bad mojo going.
Could be. Like a voodoo doll or something?
Yeah, something, man. Right.
Maybe so.
I mean, if I'm a Preds player right now, I'm like, don't pick me, Robbie.
Probably just waiting in anticipation to see who I'm going to pick every day. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Ryan in Hermitage, today's participant in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Ryan, what's going on, man?
What's going on, guys?
So, Ryan, not the much. Predators taking on the Panthers tonight. Who is your pick to click in this game?
The chosen one.
Ellie Tolvanen. The selection by Ryan from Hermitage. I like that pick. Didn't get much action last night. You think he gets one tonight?
He looked good on the power play last night. I got a couple good chances.
He did for sure. Ryan, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. So Ryan from Hermitage selecting Ellie Tolvanen in the competition today. I think that's going to be a popular pick as we move forward here. So Tolvanen is off the board. Ryan Porth, you have the first selection today in our neck of the woods. Who are you going with?
I wanted Tolvanen.
Well, that's fine, but you can't have him. So who are you going with?
Could go with someone
from
the herd
line. Who are you going with?
Could go with Eric Halla at your boy. You know what? I'm going to go with Matt Duchene.
Ooh.
Matt Duchene's been playing better. I'm going to go with 95.
I like that.
I like that, too.
Matt Duchene being selected in the competition. Joe Rexroad, you're second in today's competition. Who are you going with? Are you going back? Going back to the well? There's a lot of thought taking place over here.
I'm going to go with Granlund.
Okay. I was wondering if somebody might do that.
And just to see if it's true, because at some point it becomes scientific fact that when we pick him, he doesn't score, and when we don't pick him, he does score.
Yeah.
If he doesn't score tonight, I think we understand that we dictate what he does in hockey games.
Yeah.
So there you go. Sorry, Michael.
Sorry, buddy. Ryan from Hermitage selecting Ellie Tolvanen. Ryan Porth selecting Matt Duchene. Joe Rexroad selecting Mikael Granlund. Give me Victor Arvidsson. I will take number 33, Victor Arvidsson, in the competition. I was not all that impressed with the game from that line last night between Johansson, Tolvanen, and Arvidsson. I think they rebound tonight with a better effort. Arvidsson finds the back of the net. I think he's been playing a lot better as of late. I'll take Victor Arvidsson.
He has. I think that was their least effective line last night from my naked eye of...
Agreed.
Without looking at the analytics.
You better look at those. Did you see the fight last night between Vingan and Stillman on analytics?
I did.
That was good.
It's so weird to have someone, and Vingan's very into him, more into him than I like to be. Although I think analytics really are useful in hockey. I think hockey is...
They're not everything like some people make them out to be, but I do think they're very useful.
But it's interesting to have someone as young as Jared, who basically is like old man yelling at cloud about analytics. Ah, that doesn't mean anything. But I'll stop because he's not in my head. We haven't been talking about him at all.
I know.
He talks about me all the time, from what I'm told.
from what we've heard here on the program.
That's third hand people relaying it to me.
That's right.
I mean, I don't read anything. I don't listen to anything out there. I don't go on the internet.
You avoid the noise.
You know, we're trying to stay focused, contribute to the team, you know. Win every day.
That's right. So that is today's
win
edition
process.
Of Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Ryan from Hermitage selecting Ellie Tolvanen. Ryan Porth selecting Matt Duchene. Joe Rexroad going with Mikael Granlund. Robbie Stanley selecting Victor Arvidsson in the competition today. So
here are your goal
scores. No member of the herd line. Yeah, Tanner Janot is getting one tonight.
So we know that tonight you'll have Halla will score again.
Yep.
Cousins will score again. Cunnan will score.
Yep.
And Johansson will score.
Yep. Probably
Yossi.
Exactly how to go.
And yes. Right. How many goals are they going to score?
They're
going to get Frosties again.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking. It is pretty incredible, though. Like, every time, not every time, but a lot of the times we pick Granlund, he doesn't score. And then yesterday, nobody picks him. Just immediately scoring goal.
I mean, he makes a big difference every night.
Every night.
But yeah, actually scoring. Only when we don't pick him.
Yeah.
So, again, I won't do it again if he doesn't score tonight.
Is that your vow?
I will. I vow to you, Mike Granlund. I vow to you that I will not pick you again if you don't score tonight.
I can't
wait. Give me the Justin Bradford.
Like, I can't.
Like David Poyle versus Justin Bradford, a GM and a media member. Like, there is no way it's the same person. Poyle, yeah. Michael Granlund.
And then Bradford's and then like Bradford is Mikhail Granlund.
Yeah, like no, that. No, but it's close. But he doesn't even spell it like it's Mikhail Granlund.
Yeah, pretty good.
I
can't wait to get Justin like people Bradford in the text line yelling at you. It's not Michael, Joe.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We get that. Stick to your Marcus Mariota jerseys.
That's right. Hey, this is the third time in a row that you've not gone with Cali Yarncroke. What's going on here?
Yeah, well,
are you moving away from Jadeveon Rex Croak? Has Clowney's departure totally ruined you from all things Jadeveon Rex Croak?
Well, we're all doing so poorly lately. I can't remember the last time I got one.
It was like a week ago.
Was it?
Yes.
Who was it? Who got it
for me? I think it was Yarncroak.
It was Yarncroak.
Okay. I was going to say, I kind of feel bad because I'm jinxing him, but maybe. I'm sorry, Callie.
It was actually Duchesne. We were in
That's right. It was
suite.
Oh, it was Duchesne.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Duchesne.
Like literally last week.
And you were thrilled.
It's been so long.
I can't remember the last time I got one right.
It's, you know, I mean, if I don't have one just like within a couple days to me, that's like forever. So, I don't know. Maybe I should just go back to Rex Croak after this. I might do that if Granlund doesn't score tonight.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Frank texts in, Joe, I already gave Vingan a heads up that you were stealing his mocking voice when you talk about Stillman. Are you stealing Adam Vingan's mocking voice?
I don't know that I've heard it. So what did I just do? Rah, 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 something like that?
Something. I don't know.
I don't like analytics. I'm Jared Stillman.
It's pretty good.
Like, I don't, I'm like, it's surprising though, isn't it? Like someone as young as him that he just completely, no, that none of it means anything.
Yeah.
None of it means anything.
Yeah.
It's a little bit old man yelling at cloud.
His big thing last night was go park your butt in front of the net. I'm like, yeah. That'll work.
Right.
That'll do that. It's also where the analytics tell you to go. But yeah.
Right.
They'll do that.
Yeah. I mean, analytics will tell you about chances and quality of chances and
high
offensive
danger.
Zone time and high danger. I mean, these things are.
When you park your butt in front of the net.
And Trenton did that, and he scored.
And he scored.
So now I want to hear Vingan's. We have Vingan on tomorrow, right? We'll have to remember that. I want to hear his. I haven't heard it. His Stillman mocking voice.
We can try it. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate texts in. This means that Yarncroke has at least two goals tonight. Nobody took him. Could be.
Well, then,
I know that I took him yesterday, and that did not go well.
If it carries on like this, basically, I think that we should just be taking, like, Gudbranson.
Yeah.
You know, just people who, if they don't score.
I'll just select Matt Benning every time.
Yeah, like people who, if they don't score, it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Maybe that's the route I should have taken a long time ago.
18 correct picks. Out of,
it's a lot of math.
A lot.
Well, and you and the listeners have 14 of the 18.
Right. Yeah. That's
look at us two. Me and Porth.
I wasn't going to bring it up like that. You know, you keep ripping yourself, man.
Well, I'm kind of dragging him into it too. But yeah,
you still got a shot.
Now he's got a significant lead on me.
Coming for you, Joe.
Yeah.
You keep saying that.
See how that goes. When we come back. It is that time of the week. We'll be joined by our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.